welcome to Off the Cuff. Today we are speaking with National Corn Growers Association Corn Board member Wesley Spurlock, who farms in Stratford, Texas. Recently, Wesley has been speaking to quite a few cattlemen's groups about how corn production can meet all needs for ethanol and livestock feed as they continue to grow. Wesley, this has gained quite a bit of media attention. Can you tell us what you've been saying?
As I've been visiting with different individuals and trying to explain where the NCGA sets and what we're trying to do and what our members' ability to grow corn is, we go back into the history and look that in 1990, we were producing 118 bushels per acre. As the years have gone on and seed technologies have improved, in 2009, we were producing 165 bushels. And as this has moved up, we have needed a place to go with this corn. So as the ethanol industry has matured, it is beginning to take this amount and use it. It has grown into it, and as production has increased, the ethanol industry has grown. But we are still furnishing all of the feed to the feed industry, to the livestock industry as a whole. So we're still able to do that. We're able to produce enough to cover the ethanol industry. As exports increase and decrease through the years, we've been able to cover those areas. Now, our carryout may not be as high this year because of production problems, but in 2010, there was 1.128 billion bushels of carryout left. So we're able to take care of all needs and still have the cushion to continue into the future.
With this huge growth in production that's, you know, led to seeing many record crops recently, I think it's important that we stress this is being done really on not any more land than we were seeing back in the early 90s substantially. And with fewer inputs, can you speak with some of the questions that you've met about that subject area?
The acres of corn actually have gone down, and there's being more corn grown on less acres than there was in the past. And this is happening because of the ability to, like we said, these technologies in the seed have done tremendously, but then the ability for agriculture to have learned and know when to put fertilizer down and how to hold fertilizer in the soil longer and more efficiently so that it's used and not lost. So to where we used to be raising a bushel of corn on 1 pound of nitrogen, we're now doing it on 3/4 of a pound of nitrogen. All levels of nutrition used per bushel is going down on each of those. The sustainability of that is continuing to improve so that we get more for less year after year.
As this is going along, people, I think, are also kind of overlooking the fact that corn that goes into ethanol production also re-enters the livestock market in a way through a co-product called distiller's dried grains. What are people saying about those?
The distiller's dried grains is a tremendous feed additive. For 1/3 of all the pounds of grain that go into the grind for the ethanol industry come out as a distiller's dried grain. The livestock industry really has increased their use of this. This is a high-demand feed additive now. It is used all over the country in all levels of feeding. It comes into Texas weekly. Unit train after unit train flows in and it goes out. It's really improved and increases their ability to feed and do a better job with some of the different types of hays they're using and mixing into their feeds.
With more grains going back in through distiller's dried grains, and with the increases in production, despite the fact that we aren't really increasing acres and we're decreasing the inputs, can you kind of explain why people are still concerned about the cattle markets? I know that you have some particular experience due to the area of the country from which you come.
I think people continue to worry about the markets as the corn price has gone up from $3 range into the $6 range in the low sevens. It's increased everything, but then cattle also have gone up dramatically in the process. The demand for their product has increased, and then their exports continue to increase. So even though corn is higher, the end product that you put out with cattle is also at a higher level. So there is a profit in these markets most of the time.
And I know that some things this year, especially in your region of the country, which is, you know, one of the largest for cattle, have been a little bit different just due to something that farmers have been dealing with since the beginning of the occupation, actually, with the weather. Can you speak to the drought conditions and the effect that it's having on agriculture, livestock, and all the production that does normally take place in Texas?
When we came into the 2010, we came into it dry in most of the state of Texas. And then as the year continued, that large high set over the top of the Texas. And it wasn't just the panhandle where I was at. It was the entire state. Temperatures increased, the winds were higher, the precipitation was minimal to none. The industry as a whole, we all fell apart in the process. It burned up. The grass is never greened up coming out of the winters. Farms were not able to grow anything. In our farms, we were unable to raise the corn that we normally raise. We weren't able to raise our dry land wheat. Our irrigated wheats were low. And then on the cattle side of the deal, the Texas ranches dried up and they were having to feed hay. They were trying to find hay. And as it got hotter and drier, the numbers of cattle began to move off of the ranches. They were hunting for places to go with them. And unfortunately, most of that was going to sales or going into the feed yards earlier. So the numbers of cattle out on the ranches and on the ground in Texas dropped dramatically. For the first time in my life, as we get into the fall and into the winter, there are more trucks with hay on them coming south from the Midwest than there are grain trucks hauling grain or cattle trucks hauling. Hay trucks continue to flow from the north into Texas, and they drop all the way. They have to come in the top, and they may run 1,000 miles, 1,200 miles to get to where they're taking this hay in Texas, and then they return back and bring more. So the drought and the problems we've had, we are in dire need of rain. We're getting some rain, but it's not anything that's going to break our drought yet. So we're hoping to break this cycle and get into something better.
Now, from what I understand, since they're having to actually move hay into Texas, which is, you know, highly, highly unusual, and since the cattle just don't have the normal grass because due to the drought, it just didn't grow, you're seeing more cattle hitting the feedlots right now. And a lot of this is causing momentary rises in corn prices, but ones that don't seem sustainable because that demand isn't going to be there once this glut of cattle passes through. Can you explain that a little bit?
As these calves have came in off of these ranches back in the mid part of summer, they were coming in at levels. And normally calves go into the feed yards at 600 to 800 pounds. These were younger calves that were going in at 350 pounds, 400, 500 pounds. They were lighter weight. You have to put them on different rations and start, but then the calves are in the feed yard instead of 110 days, 120 days, they're going to be in there for 180 days. So you have to feed a lot more grain in the process to get them to there, a lot more feed, a lot more grain, and their efficiency at younger ages, younger weights is not quite as good as it is if the larger cattle are more efficient in using grain than the smaller ones.
And can you just give sort of the biggest message that you hope that people take away when they hear you speak on this subject? The one single point that you think is the most important thing for your average consumer to understand?
American corn is a strong and viable industry. We can produce and we will continue to produce. This year, we had a yield of 147 bushels. We did that in a year that had problems across the entire industry with the rains and flooding in the beginning of the year. It made delayed plantings early. Then we had the flooding of the Missouri and Mississippi that a lot of acres were lost on. And then the scorching heat that came across Texas and the south and moved across. And as that heat continued into the summer, it moved into the Midwest and they saw some of the hottest temperatures they ever had. And with these problems and then to top it off, Hurricane Irene at the end of the year, coming up and getting some of the corn acres along the East Coast, even with these things, we still produced 147 bushels per acre average across the United States, which was tremendous with the problems that were there. So even when bad years, we can produce this. As our abilities and technologies increase, we're going to be able to continue to produce more corn and cover all markets, even growing markets. And we just want everybody to understand that we do have the ability to do it, and it is in everybody's interest for us to do that.
Thank you so much, Wesley. We appreciate your call today and your time. And thank you for listening to Off the Cob. If you'd like more information on corn production, please just visit our website. It's www.ncga.com.